Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your presence amongst us all, Lord. I thank you for your word that is a standard by which we live in it. And we pray and we walk by it. Lord, I just ask and I pray for bold faith for all of us. And of course, that faith is already in us because you're in us. And we trust you. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done in our lives. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon each and every one of us. I know sometimes we pray amiss, but Lord, you straighten us out. Get us back on the right road. And when we do pray, Lord, the prayer of faith, and just trust that you're doing it, it's going to happen. And Lord, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters out here that's going to be on the fellowship tonight and those that are listening. I ask, Father, for your guidance and your leading tonight in this fellowship, that we would talk and speak about the things that you'd have us to speak about, Lord. Because we have the mind of Christ, and if we all have the mind of Christ, we're in one accord. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask, Father, that you do a mighty thing tonight amongst this bunch of believers here. Disciples, that the things that you bring out tonight, Lord, bring revelations to those that you want to hear. Not only that, Lord, let it be a revelation that would get down in our spirit, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. I just ask and I pray, Father, for your presence among us all, Lord. Teach us, guide us, and lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Nick.
I got a praise.
Okay.
My hand is healed, and I got my stitches out yesterday.
Amen.
And I got to go back to work today, so.
Praise God. Amen. I bet they were happy to see you.
Yes, they were.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? I want to pray if I can. I got a little bit of a praise report also. They got the stent in Ryan to drain something. And I think it's working like they thought it would or supposed to. So they turned him loose to go home today. And there is a but. They're talking something about some chemo. And I want to pray about that. Father, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't trust Pharmacare. Not one step do I trust him. But Lord, that's where Tiffany and Ryan are. They've never really relied on you for anything other than just some, you know, this stuff here and there. And I'm asking you, Father, to open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears to see and to understand that our trust in you brings about success every time, every time. Not a hit and miss thing. It's an every time thing. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you would give them a dream or a vision or whatever it takes, Lord, you know, I don't, that you would open up their eyes to understand that they need to trust you for this. In my humble estimation, there is no other chance for him other than you, Lord. And I am very hesitant to voice any displeasure for turning them away from me. And I'm asking you to, I'm going to put them on your altar, Lord, and ask that you do this work in them, Lord, to believe that when I pray for him tomorrow, just to rely on you. And I thank you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I believe this, Lord. I believe this. I believe that when I pray for him, and it's not me doing anything but just being a conduit for you, Lord. I know that it's not me, that it's you. And I trust you to work through me, Lord, to give him an instant healing and a supernatural energy going through him, Lord, to cleanse him of this cancer. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I believe it's so. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer or a praise report? Yeah, Missy.
Last night, I did a video call with Kurt, Brooke, and Blake, and Blake was starting to get these spots on her, and, you know, right away, you know, thought that it was an allergic reaction, and Brooke thought maybe it was these goldfish she ate for the first time, and and she's been struggling with ear infections, and I don't know how many rounds of antibiotic they've had her on now. Anyway, and Merle said this, and I was even thinking that, you know, that it's probably the medicine, because I know after a while you can develop an allergic reaction. Well, she got up this morning, she had these splotches all over her face, and her face was puffy, you know, a little swollen, and they sent me some pictures. She looked so pathetic, poor little thing. Anyway, so they took her to urgent care, and sure enough, that's what it was. It was the amoxicillin. And the doctor said that happens a lot with amoxicillin. But anyway, so they gave her Benadryl and some steroid for 5 days. Gave her Benadryl. I don't know if they're going to keep giving her that. But anyway, so that's what I figured they would do, at least give her Benadryl. So, Father, I know, Lord, ever since Blake's been going to daycare now, and she's been around other kids, Lord, that seems like it's been one thing or another that she's been sick, Lord. And I just ask you to help Kurt and Brooke to understand she's just building up her own immunity, and not to run into the doctor every time something happens with her, Lord. And I just forbid this antibiotic thing to have a negative effect on her. I just break all curses, all witchcraft on her pharmakia. And I command her to have a good immunity in the name of Jesus, and that these attacks on her to cease in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I just command this, these ear infections to go in the name of Jesus and to not come back, in Jesus' name, and all the congestion she has with it to go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord. It is done.
Amen.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, we prayed for Ryan Saturday because, you know, you sent Julie a text, so we prayed. But I wanted to ask a couple questions, I guess, if I can. I know you said he was in the hospital, and that's why you went there. We're related with a good report that they let him go, because we were thinking it was, you know, he was, you know, in a pretty bad place as far as his the staging. They had some kind of stage area he was in. I don't know.
His liver was at a stage 6, which is 2 above what they normally think is it's too late to do anything. And from my understanding, that hasn't changed. What I'm thinking they're trying to do, I don't know. I haven't been involved in any of that. I've just been staying away. I hesitate to say anything other than it's the regular pharmacare protocol. So that's why I'm going over there tomorrow. And actually, Tiffany, I hadn't been able to go up there because they won't let anybody in there because of the COVID restrictions that they've got. And she told Michelle, her mother, my daughter, that I was not to leave without praying for Ryan, which is a good sign that I may be able to speak with both of them about divine healing. But go ahead, Dave.
Well, I agree with you. I absolutely, we're on board with you on that. What we were thinking is that, well, we'll continue to intercede for that because we're basically, I think we're standing in the gap for them right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, because we're not going to look at their faith on this, but we're going to interact for their faith mm-hmm. because we know they may not be there right now, and that's fine, but we're still going to pray for them in that direction. And that the Lord be gracious to allow them, like you said, to hear what you've got to say. Now, they may not be able to receive, hey, you can stand back and let the Lord take over and do everything. But we're going to pray also, I think, that the Lord does these things for them right now. I think that's why he's given us grace right now. That's why he's going home. He's not in that hospital. He's going to be going home. So we're going to see that, continue to pray for this, this cancer to go in the name of Jesus, and that we're going to see a wonderful testimony. And at the same time, they're going to be built up in their faith and see the Lord work mightily in their favor, because we're praying for that to happen. And then they will come into the fullness of the faith, because they're going to see the works that Jesus did for them. So that's where I want to go.
Well, I can tell you this. I personally have seen God heal terminal cancer immediately more than once. And he's done it before. He can do it again. And that's what I'm believing for. And if that happens, there's going to be a revival in this family.
Now, whatever it takes to bring him in and however it happens, that's great. I'm looking for that. I want to see that. But at the same time, I know if it's a trial of faith, we're going to go there too. Whatever it takes, I don't care.
Amen. You know?
So, Father, we're going for that complete healing, but what I don't know what your will is in this, and I'm not saying if it be that will, that's not my prayer, Father, but I'm praying that because we're standing in the gap for him now, we're casting this down in the name of Jesus by our faith. We know this cancer has to go because we told it to go. We know that this healing has to come because it's what you did at the cross, Jesus. It gave us that authority to claim that, and the thank you for that. And at the same time, we're not going to receive the bad report other than knowing that this has been taken care of, he's healed, and there's nothing more beyond what we just prayed for on that. Now we know that the faith father isn't there, but we're praying this also is going to be taken care of because we're believing for that also. And we can believe everything that we can go to you and say, this is what we say. We're going to stand on it by faith and we're not going to let go. We've got that. It's ours. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer on this. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering Ryan in the name of Jesus and helping his wife, Tiffany, and Ryan come into the faith that they need. And we're going to stand in the gap until they have it. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I've been studying here recently a lot about healing and the different aspects of it. And I made some notes here. You know, there is a difference between fact and truth. There's a difference between fact and truth. Facts can be seen by anybody. But the truth is the truth regardless of what you can see with your eyes or hear with your ears. And the truth is of this divine healing is this. The word says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. Jesus took all of that with him to the cross. And because of that, Ryan's healed. And I can tell you this from just my street experiences. It doesn't make any difference whether they're Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, or just somebody off a heathen off the street. He'll heal them and give them the chance to come to him. And that's what my God did. He says every time that Jesus, that it was said in the Bible that he healed them because of his compassion. He had a compassion to heal and see people out of their misery. And that's what I've been seeing this all along, is that it's that we put too many restrictions on God. And so, well, he can't heal because of this, or he can't heal because of that. God healed him anyway. He healed, he called two in the Bible, two people in the Bible that were heathens, and called, said that they had greater faith than anybody in Jerusalem or in Israel. And if that's the case, anybody is subject to getting healed and will get healed by those who's praying for them if they have faith and trust in the Lord. And it's the spirit in us that heals them. You know that, don't you? It's the spirit of God in us that heals them. And when we touch them and pray for them, that healing power of God goes from us, from the Spirit of God to them, and heals them completely from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And there's no, if it be thy will, I'm not talking about you, Dave. I understand what you were saying. It's always his will to heal. It's always his will to heal. And the biggest problem that I'm seeing after studying these healing things is us wanting to put some kind of hindrance on God and his healing power. So I'm doing this for myself more than I am y'all. I'm reinforcing myself because this is my granddaughter, husband, and it's real close to home here to me. And I love them both dearly, dearly. And y'all heard me talk about little Hayes. He's going to have his daddy. until Jesus comes back.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to pray against right now, because I'm going back and listening through some of the teachings of Preserved from the Beast, and one of the, I think it was an 8, David was talking back then about the vaccine mandate coming out, and he was said, we can't pray down the COVID disease, the COVID, whatever, the pandemic, but says we can pray down the mandate to get the shot. We can pray down this shot thing they're trying to push on us and everybody else. We have the right to pray that down. So I like to come against that right now. And that's not just for the United States, that's for everybody. Mm-hmm. We come against these deep states people and cast down this mandate that they're trying to push everybody in to get a shot, because it's not the time for the mark of the beast, and we're not going to receive this. It's not that time. It's too early for this. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this deep state. We take authority over this beast, this kingdom. We cast it down. We do not receive it, and we don't allow this to happen in this world right now. They don't have the authority to put us under their thumb. This is not the beast kingdom. It is not started. This is not the mark of the beast. We don't allow this to happen. In the name of Jesus, we cast it down. Anything that's coming up in the court system, let the truth be known that this is out to destroy people. It's not out to heal. Let the truth be known that these are traitors and they should be tried for that reason. But whatever it is your purpose is, Father, on this and how you want to do it, we'll go with that. But we know this is not your time to have the mark of the beast. It's not our time to bow down and be humbled for this. Maybe it is for the apostate Christians, but we're not apostate. And we're not going to stand for it. We're not going to receive it. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. One other thing, and I'm going to hush. If you stand on the truth, how many of you know the facts will change? All right, go ahead, Malcolm.
Thanks, Michael, and good evening, everybody. Or good morning, good night, or wherever you are. But I spent some time this morning with John 13 through 16, part of 16. One thing Jesus says over and over is to ask the Father in my name. But let me just read John. Everybody knows this. I just wanted to read it again. Even if it weren't for Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24 and just the basic understanding that soteria covers not just forgiveness from sin, it also covers healing. I mean, there's so many things where you don't even have, it's almost like you don't have to ask for those things. You just command it because it's a given. If you've been saved, it's a given. But I just want to read this, Isaiah 16:23. And on that day, you will ask me nothing. Truly, truly, oh, this is the Lexham version. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. So, that's hard to grasp how comprehensive that is. It's like, because Jesus is saying, you haven't asked anything yet. He may be even meaning that for now too. I mean, it's like, yes, we pray for a lot of things, but maybe we don't fully grasp that this is a completely open door here. And to understand how comprehensive that really is. So I've just been so impressed with that, and I'm trying to understand. I really want to know God's heart on this. I just feel like I I want to get that truly down in my spirit, you know, not just intellectually. You know, intellectually doesn't really help when the crisis comes. I also want to bring up my sister-in-law, former sister-in-law. He's got cancer and is just, I think, as of this week, starting chemo. I haven't also, like we've been discussing with the other folks, I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet. But let me just pray for her real quick. Lord, I just... I ask that you grant my sister-in-law the grace for repentance. She's been in church systems for, I guess, all of her life. Lord, I just ask you that you grant her deep repentance and truly finding you, and help her to come to the understanding in her spirit that you have already healed her. And if I can reach her, Lord, I just pray that her heart will be open to accept the real good news and to understand that she doesn't have to do the chemo, hair falling out, lips turning purple, and dying from chemo experience like I've had with so many other, with other relatives that have died just straight from chemo. So, Lord, I thank you for hearing our prayer regarding my sister-in-law, that she'll just be swept in, like Duncan Campbell used to say, gloriously saved, and swept into your kingdom. And he's young enough that this is just ridiculous for her to conk over at this point. So I just thank you, Lord, for working all that out. I pray that you be with your daughter, and pray that you will just fill that family with faith. Turn things around, Lord, for them. I mean, as far as truly follow, I ask that you bring them into your kingdom, that they truly follow you. Thank you, Lord. Also, I want to bring up my dad, who is, I know we've all prayed for him. He's kind of stopped eating and drinking, so he's getting super weak. I'm still holding on to what we've already prayed for, and I'm sticking with that. It's another case of facts versus truth, Michael. So anyway, back to you, Michael. Thank you, everybody.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Ren.
I'm trying to find my mouse there. There we go. hello, everybody. Daniel has got a little testimony that he'd like to share, and he's brave, and he didn't want to come up when we asked him on Sunday, and he said no. Today he said, "Oh, you'd like to share it? You want to tell them what happened?"
Yes. I prayed to God that he would change my taste buds so I could like beet root and tomato.
Oh, you're talking a bit too fast. You got to talk slower. So you asked God, you said he prayed to God to change his taste buds so that he could like beetroot and tomatoes.
Amen.
And then I think maybe 3 or 4 days later, I liked them.
Yeah, praise God. Everybody likes tomatoes and whatever that other stuff was.
Beetroot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, oh, good. And we've got one more testimony to share. And it's just bragging on the Lord because it fits so well in, Michael, with what you've been talking about, fact and truth. We're so excited. Yesterday morning, when I got up for my quiet time, I looked out the window and I saw the chickens pecking at something in the garden. And I thought, oh no, not another chicken that's been killed at nighttime or something. But it looked a bit different. Anyways, I went outside and it was this small little possum, like a young adult, probably just out of the pouch. just lying there. And I looked at it, I was still breathing. And I took it inside and put it in a box, and it was very, very weak, was hardly breathing, and it was kind of breathing in pain and in pretty bad shape. So we brought it in, and I mean, we don't know, this is a common brush-tail possum, I found out later. We don't know these animals because we're from South Africa. So we don't, you know, we know they're wild and you shouldn't handle them. But we brought it
they're
in.
They're not wild in like the African sense, but anyway.
As in they will kill and eat you. No. They're not domestic. But they do bite, yes, and they can scratch, etc. Anyways, we brought this little animal in, and I phoned the wildlife sanctuary that's quite far away from here and asked them what to do. And they said, don't feed it anything, but please send us a video of the animal so they can kind of determine what state it's in. So I took a video, I sent it to them, and they replied back. They said, yep, they'll get someone to come and pick it up and euthanize it because it's clearly been poisoned, and they, you know, they just want someone to take care of it. So either a vet or a farmer or someone nearby, they'll contact us. So we were there, the family was all together, and we said, no, we don't accept that. We're going to pray for this little animal that was still breathing. So we laid hands on it and prayed, commanded it to be healed, and thanked the Lord. And we went on with our day. I went to work. We put it in the laundry where it's nice and warm and dark because it's, you know, it's sleep time for it. So we just left it, and we didn't give it anything. Didn't try and give it water or food or nothing. We just left it to sleep. And I went to work. Then the sanctuary phoned back later and they said they found someone in Waratah, which is about, 40, 50 minutes away from here, that can take care of it. And we didn't know what that meant. What does that mean?
Well, first she said, like, do I know someone? And she said a word and I didn't hear the word.
Oh, right.
So then I said, I don't know if I know anyone with whatever you said, but let me phone my farmer friends and find out if they have what I thought she was saying, which I thought she was talking about pharmakia. So I texted two of my friends and asked them, do they have this pharma thing? And they said, no. Then she phoned me back and she's like, so did you find someone with a shotgun? And I was like, I did not know you said shotgun. Like, yeah. I thought you said something else. I said, no, I was so shocked. I'm like, I'm a really healthy person and I don't use shotguns. Which is such a weird thing to say. So, anyway.
Our children are fine. Anyways, so they phoned and they said, okay, we can take this animal because they don't have anybody here on the West Coast where we are to take the animal up to this place called Waratah. So I said to Claire, all right, I'll come back and I'll bring the car so she can have the car to take this animal. And as we got home, we said, let's just have a bit of an adult discussion. Claire and I, we went into the laundry. We had a look at this animal who was moved a little bit, still sleeping, breathing, much calm, you know, just as if it's sleeping. No, none of that funny breathing that it was doing earlier. Then we said, we don't feel comfortable with taking it somewhere. It doesn't feel like it's in pain or suffering. And even if it is, the Lord is the one who's in control. He decides who lives and who dies, even his creatures. He's in complete control of it. It's not up to us to kill it. We don't want to do that. I know other people might disagree. And if you've got a farm, you got to do kind of that kind of stuff. But we were like, this animal was in our garden, not by our, we didn't breed it or anything like that. It was put there by the Lord for us to take care of. So we decided that we're not going to take it. We're just going to leave it. And it's going to recover and it's going to be fine. And it'll just jump out of the box and we'll open the laundry and it can go away, or we'll find somewhere a home for it. Then at night, by the time we had dinner, I got a text message out of nowhere that says, oh, I'm 45 minutes away. I'm from another sanctuary and I'm on my way to pick up the possum. And the lady came, her name was Stacy. And we asked her, what are you going to do with it? And she said, no, I'm going to put it on some fluids and look after it. And then tomorrow, which is today, we'll see how it is. And we said, okay, that's great. So it's not someone who's going. And she lives not far away from here. And we were very happy. We said, okay, now it's out of our hands. We've prayed for the animal and it's going to be fine. This morning, to make a short story long, I asked her how she's doing, and this is what she texted me. And she said, she didn't say the same thing. There was another lady at work as well that I told about this, and she said, oh yeah, she knows animals, and you've got to put this one down. It's not going to make it. It's, yeah.
And even the Christian farmers that I phoned were like, gave me some horrible advice on how to kill an animal, which was very traumatic for me to hear, because I've never really had to kill anything. I'm not really inclined to want to. So,
but we confessed to all of them and said, no, we prayed for it. It's going to be fine. And even the lady at work that I spoke to as well, I said to her, well, you know, me and the kids, we prayed for the animal, so everything is going to be fine. So this morning at 10:45, I get this message that was meant for Claire. It says, hi, Claire. We named it Poppy, right? So the animal's name is Poppy. We even named it because it's going to be fine. Poppy is indeed a little girl. She was very dehydrated, but apart from that, perfectly healthy.
Praise God.
After lots of fluids and some R&R, she's doing much better this morning and is off to her long-term home at Mtomana, which is nearby, with a lovely lady who raises and releases lots of wildlife. Thanks to you and your family, this little girl has survived and reached the care she needs. Please feel free to contact me. And she sent a couple of pictures of the little thing there, looking much better than what it did. If you want to see what it looks like, that's better.
Oh,
a very
that's cute a little black fur. One. That's a black one.
Yeah, they're dark. They're beautiful, beautiful fur. And that is what you were saying, Michael. That is changing the facts, the truth.
Yeah.
Change the facts, because now everybody goes, oh, it's perfectly healthy. It's going to be fine. And everybody else we spoke to said, no, kill it. It's it needs to be put out. So all just praise the Lord. We're so grateful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Awesome. Well, that little fella's going to make it then. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Malcolm, go ahead.
This isn't really a praise or a request for prayer. It's just a comment about what I was reading this morning. I'm so excited about this story that Claire and Weon were sharing. It's so cool. Because we ran into little animals, we have tons of turkeys that come around our place, and every now and then, probably every year, I'll see one turkey that has a broken leg. So I always pray for that turkey. And anyway, one thing I was just kind of pondering, you know, in John 13, 14, well, I guess 13 more, the narrative about Jesus eating with everybody and talking to the disciples, it occurred to me, he knew full well that in a short time, he'd be arrested and beaten badly and then, you know, get the stripes by which we're healed and the most horrendous, he'd be dehydrated. He knew he was going to be dehydrated because the Psalm says that. My tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. And he knew all these details. And yet, if you look at his behavior, I mean, I was thinking in terms of myself, how would I behave when I'm around, I were surrounded by a bunch of friends, and I knew that within 24 hours, I'd be going through the most horrendous stuff. Actually, in his case, I guess he was already dead within 24 hours, so it's less time than that. But it just and then I was That was part of it, and also the fact that he was sleeping in the boat when there was this incredible storm going on. The disciples thought they were, you know, it was a little late for swimming lessons. Of course, they were fishermen, so they knew how to swim. But it really struck me how relaxed Jesus seemed to be in full knowledge of all that. And it says they, you know, he, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. But here he was calmly talking about leaving and teaching them about the Holy Spirit and all these things. And he was eating. He was eating with everybody else. And just, there's no narrative that says his stomach was churning. He was feeling morbid or anything else. He was very upset about Judas, and that kept coming up over and over and over. Terrible. There was terrible pain because of that. But it really struck me that he was so abiding in this. He was with his father and had such confidence that he didn't. He was able to function and love and say the most wonderful things just before he was gone. That seems, physically, I don't know how that's even possible if you know that. But obviously with Jesus, he did it. So I just would like to be there myself. Of course, we all want to, you know, as we're all going through stuff where we're being killed. I've just been listening to David Hill's teaching on how shall we die, and we all want to die in the way that Jesus taught, which is to die to self, and we all want to cooperate with the nasty people that God brings against us. And I've had lots of experience today with people, it's not nasty people, but people that got nasty. And I was pretty upset. And then they came back and apologized. And I just thought, why did I feel frustration or resentment against that person? And now they come back and apologize. And now I have no thought of, doing something that would cost me and my wife quite a bit of money so we could be more independent basically I was borrowing somebody's stuff and they were using that for incredible leverage. And this happens year after year. So anyway, I want to be there where I'm totally cooperating in this dying to self process and I'm truly loving people that are coming against me and cooperating. That's one of the things, I guess, that's been my focus for the last few days, and that is to cooperate with God in that dying process like Jesus did. He was fully cooperating with God in with the physical dying, physical torture and physical everything. And, of course, the emotional and the dying to self and all the other stuff was there when he was up on the cross and the Pharisees were saying he saved others but himself he cannot save, which is so ironic because if he had saved himself, others he couldn't save either. So even retroactively, you think about if Jesus had failed to go through that process, he would actually have no authority to have healed people before his death. So it would, as far as I can tell, it's a retroactive active effect as far as Jesus was concerned. Of course, we know that didn't happen. Scripture doesn't allow for that. But I was just struck with that. I want to be there where I'm in the ship or in the back of an army convoy truck or wherever I am, just relaxed and trusting in God. And like David was saying in the teaching, God can translate us into a problem or out of a problem, and whichever way. He told about the story about the fact, what's his name? The guy, our brother that passed away here. He was saying that somebody, there was a witch doctor that was coming against one of God's people and giving him a lot of grief, and God just translated that out into the woods, and it took him, I think it was a week or two to get back to, get back. How's that for translation? For your enemies. Anyway, just some thoughts. I know it's out of context, but I just wanted to bring it up.
Amen. All right. Hey, Dave, did you check the chat out? Anybody else?
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back.
Sure. I was just going to mention this, Malcolm. Your comments aren't out of context, because just before you mentioned that, I had brought up Esword and it came up with Mark 15:1 because I've got it on, you know, random, and that's going over Jesus going through the crucifixion. So there's nothing random about you talking about Jesus being crucified here, which kind of makes me wonder. And we're supposed to talk about going to our cross a little bit tonight. I don't know. I was kind of not wanting to go there. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, that thought, as Malcolm was talking there, I guess the thought that came to me, I know that the scripture says in Revelation, that God will give us a place of authority. I don't remember where it's at in, I think, Revelation 3, but to he who overcomes as I have overcome. And I guess I was thinking there, Jesus was in such peace with God and his role and his purpose. I guess what I was, the thing I was thinking of is Jesus was already dead to self before he even went to the cross. And the cross itself was simply the culmination of that act. But he was already dead to self. So, seeing how that we're talking about dying to self and how shall we die, etc. And just the thought that he gave us the gift of his life and his death, and so, and I guess I'm putting the kind of the pieces together and thinking that it's our role or our responsibility not in a sense to die to self, maybe this is saying the same thing, but it is in a sense being able to be completely, I guess, dead to self, to allow Jesus's life and his death to be expressed through us. Kind of a freedom to release all resistance against his life so that it can be expressed out through us. Maybe that in and of itself is a death to self, so to speak, a death to allow the Lord complete freedom to live his life and the aspects of his death through us. So that was just kind of the thought that Malcolm triggered in my mind there. But just the thought that Jesus had already gone through that process. He was already there before he went to the cross, which I believe was allowed him the power, because in and of itself, it was an act of the Father. It was, as Jesus said, it was an act of the Father's work through him. So, I don't know. Just thoughts I'm throwing out, just like Malcolm.
So, I mean, I think we all have that struggle of dying to self. I mean, it's a process. We know that. I mean, I've gone through it, and I still know I've got more to die to, because I can know that inside me, it doesn't want to die. You know, you got that thing inside of you. It doesn't want to give up, you know, wants to live. And even the more you talk about it, you can feel it rising up inside you, because it's thinking, I don't want to die. You know, but I remember Paul made a statement. He says, I die daily. So it's not like he knew that he had to take up this big task and do it all at one time. He knew it was a daily process, and whatever circumstance would come up in his life for that day, that's what he had to deal with. And I had mentioned Saturday, I read a little bit, I think it was E.M. Bounds, and about prayer. And he's talking about when you pray for your daily needs. You pray for that day, and you're working through that day for prayer, whatever it is you need. Because you can't pray for tomorrow, because that's a waste of time. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You can't pray for what happened behind you, because that's over. You might be able to pray for others in a circumstance that things transpired during that time for their whatever it is you're praying for them, but you can't bring and change what you did yesterday or what happened yesterday. All you can do is pray for the moment you're in today and pray for God's bread on that. And that's probably the same idea with dying daily. You can't die tomorrow for what's going to happen tomorrow. But Jesus knew what was coming. You know, he was prepared for that. We can't look back in the past and think, oh, I didn't do so well with that dying to myself back then. There was something I missed the mark. Because we're supposed to forget the things that are behind, right? Because we can't change the past. So dying is a daily thing, just like prayer is a daily thing. Receiving our bread is a daily thing we get from the Word. So if anybody else has some things you want to think about that, because I know that's something I do have to work on all the time. That self wants to come and live. And it's like, you know, some days are better than others for killing it, you know, depending upon what the situation is. And I know it's a daily thing. The Lord's bringing things up in our lives to help us put us on a cross. And here we got Jesus, an example, Mark 15:1, well, all the things he had to go through. So go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking just how subtle that is too, because it's not like, it doesn't show up in this blatant, you know, I want to live, you know, I'm not going to do that. I want to live type thing. It doesn't really come out like that, but it comes out very subtly, like you're worried or you're anxious about something, or thoughts are coming up. You know, that I'm thinking back of the message that David repeated, I think, was a repeat of, you know, Sunday night. Be not anxious. He's talking about being anxious. And what is that anxiousness? That's self concerned about survival of some sort on some level, you know. So it's very subtle. And I think that just these circumstances of life and the circumstances that are we're being put through nowadays because of, you know, society going crazy on us here and whatnot, it's bringing up real subtle feelings and things that we have to deal with, thoughts that we have to think about we've never thought about before, you know, diseases and food and shortages and all this sort of stuff. And all these things bring up little bitty worries or concerns, and we have to deal with them, you know, as they come up. Specifically, if we just let it set off to the side there and forget about it, it just festers and grows, and then it becomes a snowball, and then whatever, you're dealing with a big failure in your life or something. But so it's, I guess the thought I'm thinking is that it's very subtle, that it's under the radar, so to speak, and certain pressures bring it up and you start to see it. But so the answer is receive Jesus, I guess. Release Jesus in us. Amen.
I was thinking about, we used to go to a nursing home every month and do music. I don't know what's going on with those poor folks now. I haven't seen them ever since this COVID thing started. I don't know if they're probably all still locked down and whoever's left from that lockdown process. But there's this guy that he passed away a number of years ago, but he would kind of stand in the back, and here we were, you know, doing songs or whatever we're doing, and he would shout out from back there, "We need Jesus." And, you know, a lot of times it was totally out of context to whatever was going on, but it really made me think, and I think it made a lot of other people think that were there singing or whatever. That's pretty heavy what he was saying. We need Jesus. Because it kind of cuts the chase. You know, it was a denominational little ministry type thing going on there, and it really cut to the chase. You know, let's cut through all this stuff. We need Jesus, you know. Simple. He answered everything. I like the way Jesus answered. Was it Thomas or Judas, not Iscariot? I forget. But he said, this is in John 14 or 15, I think 14. He said, you know, we don't know where you're going, and how do we know the way? And he said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he answered more than the question there, and made this massive statement that he's everything. So anyway, I'll mute myself.
Okay. All right, that y'all remind me of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 through, well, let's just read. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, they are become new. And then verse 18, but all things are of God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. The mind of Christ. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you die to self, by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. And that's so true. We don't need to think highly of ourselves. Even we know a little bit, but you know, everybody has the same opportunity as everybody else to die to self by renewing your mind. True double-mindedness, folks, is being born again and not renewing your mind. Other than that, everything be all right.
So essentially, every day we get in the Word and we get it down in our hearts and we allow God to transform us and we walk in this newness of life. And it doesn't mean we always get it totally straight every day, but we're working on it. We're in a or on that road, that narrow path, working on it. We're bringing ourselves on that cross. We're doing the walk.
Yeah, and it's all by faith, isn't it?
Yep.
We believe what the Word says. When we read in the Word the things that God wants us to do, the commands that he wants us to do, then we ask him to help us out, and he'll help us out. That's that mind-renewing thing, you know. Everything is up here. You got your hard drive, and you got your software right here. Your mind and your brain. The brain's the hardware, and the mind is the software. And when you renew it, you're taking on Christ-likeness. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I like that verse in 12 and 1 and 2 there, because it immediately made me think of what it says in chapter 2 of Philippians. And he's comparing you in your mind to how you should think there. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in God's form counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, being obedient unto death, yea, death of the cross. And we all have our cross. So is this our cross, or is this the cross that was given to us? He says to get ready, and he gives a whole parable there that everything is already ready. Come and partake at this table. You know what's there. You've eaten it. You know what's there that you've eaten. The numeric New Testament for Luke 1:37. So, for no word of God shall be void of power. So, what's our hindrance here? I'll tell you what the hindrance is that statement right there. Because we're not supposed to have that statement. That's someone else coming in and bringing a mild temptation. That's speaking before you're thinking. Oh, how many times have I put myself in a place of doing that where I didn't think before I spoke, you know? And, you know, if the table is set and it's all ready, I don't think we're making excuses. I think everybody here is showing the patience that you're supposed to have to be approved. You know, you go through a tribulation, you rejoice. You know, it says in the Proverbs there that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But you know, the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. And it says there, happy. You know, I associate happiness and joy as being the same thing. And this is not really thought of being happy this way. Is happy is the man that feareth always. And also another proverb is, happy is the man who findeth wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't associate this joy, spirit joy man that you are with this spirit happiness you're supposed to have. So there you have it, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, because that's who's in you. You know, and like always, you know, you might think, well, is this my happiness or the Lord's? It's got to be the Lord all the time. So, you know, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying we've got to a fleshy nature that wars against God, even for the most simplest things. It's a handicap that we have. And it's not a knowledge ascension. It's got to have the glory of God, you know. And you know, he went right down to that verse there in 12, I think, where it says a measure of faith. And you had an apostle asking Jesus for more faith, and we all know the mustard seed. But then you also have Romans 1, 16 and 17. And he's saying a faith is now instantaneous and progressive for you, because so is grace. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, it's saying there that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For herein is being revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Well, what is the righteousness but the opposite of the iniquity? As it says in another place, not to be unequally yoked. So if we're going to think on the good things, just like it says in that verse that was quoted, I think on Sunday, whatever is pure, whatever is Philippians chapter 4 anyway. So whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever be of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. So maybe we're being tricked in our minds not to think properly. It's always seems to be this temptation and this sin that comes against us. This unbelief is a sin. But Romans 6:11 has something to say about that. It says, reckon yourself dead to sin indeed and alive to God. Same with the fear. Those are sins. You were told on Sunday of what's in chapter Revelation 21. He's saying fear, unbelief, abomination. You know, it's all there. You know, abomination is active blasphemy. You know, it's the pure opposite of discipleship. It's Antichrist's discipleship is a blasphemy, abomination. Learn your blasphemy and do your abomination. But our discipleship is a learner and follower. It's a faith that worketh love, agape style. So that's what we believe. There's just too much negative. This negative is going to make a downward spiral. But we look up. We have an upward spiral to the Lord. If it's hard to go up the mountain straight up, when you're driving your bike up the hill, you go zigzag, but you're still making it up. It's much harder with the old bikes anyway, when there was only one gear, to go straight up the hill. But as long as you go up, not coming around the mountain when she comes, you know, and repeating it. We need that sanctification. We need that sanctifying blood. We're covered by the blood. We've got to make it to the sanctification. For all things, for healing, for everything. The blood is his life. You're his life. Now that I've said all that, I'm just going to be quiet now because I've got a lot of catching up to do myself. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Great, 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 Andrew.
You know, there's always encouragement. I'm telling you, we've been warned a lot. You know, we need some equal portions of the prophecy. Of yes, there's a lot of exhortation. We need the building up of edification and to be consoled to consolation. You know, that's what I think anyway. So I'm always want to be around the guy who encourages. I want to be with him. I want to. You already have him, so leave me alone.
All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
I feel like I have something else out of context. I'm still thinking about John 14 through 16. One thing that occurred to me was, I think we've all understood this, but each of us have our own. I think part of this, even though we're all part of Christ's body, if we're abiding in Christ, we all, also each of us have our own relationship with the head, just like the hand has its relationship with the head and the foot and the eye. Each of those different members of the body has its own relationship with the brain. Different, you know, of course, all the different functions and everything. But I was thinking that each of us has our own relationship. That God wants to us to understand that our relationship with him is very personal, and nobody else has that same relationship. I was thinking of Judas and the difficulty that Jesus was having watching Judas go. And I think part of that was that he knew that relationship that had been developing over those years was going to be permanently over and that could never be recovered. And I think the same thing, we can see the same thing, but more on a corporate level, when Jesus, with what we call the triumphal entry, when Jesus came in on the foal of an ass, and he comes up and he sees the temple, and sounds like a sunset scene to me, I don't know, but he was, he just, everything stopped, And he just looked, and then he just starts crying. Because that relationship was coming to an end as well. Of course, that's huge because that was a relationship that he had been developing for centuries. And now was coming to an end. So, like Paul said, we want to press through until the end and finish our course, and because any loss of any of us is going to cost not just the body but the head. You know, a relationship with God will be lost.
Okay, I guess it's true. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Good to see y'all. You know, in regards to talking about the crucifying the flesh, you know, putting to death the old man, I was reading some time ago, I don't really remember, but in Matthew chapter 7, his brothers, and I'll kind of give you a quick synopsis, his brothers were telling him to go to Judea, but Jesus didn't want to go yet because the Jews wanted to kill him. And they said to him, they said, his brethren therefore said to him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples also may behold thy works which thou doest. For no man doeth anything in secret, and himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, manifest by the world, for even his brethren did not believe on him. He therefore said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. And I thought about that, and I really think he's talking about putting the flesh. His time wasn't yet come. I wondered about that. I was like, well, I don't know if I'm really right on that one or not. But as I went and read to verse 30, you know, after he went and, taught, the Jews wanted to kill him, and they said, they sought therefore to take him, and no man laid his hand on him because his hour was not yet come. And I was like, well, I guess it kind of validates itself. So, I mean, you know, his time had not yet come.
Uh-oh. Sound like we lost him. Isaac? Uh-oh.
I guess his time came.
I reckon. I guess it may have been zapped out of you. Okay. Anybody else? Guess something. You know, I was looking at 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, talking about the mind of Christ. We were just a few minutes ago. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. You don't get the mind of Christ. You already got it, right? All we have to do is renew it. Keep filling it. Because we're joint heirs with Christ. It tells us in 1 John 4:17, we're joint heirs with Christ. We got his mind too, don't we? I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's something to think about, meditate on. When we fill up our spirit with the Word of God, that's what we're doing. We're dying to self, and we're renewing our mind with Christ. filling it full of faith, filling it full of the word, so that when we do have these things come up, and we will, these issues coming up about where you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can do it with the word of God. And when you do it with the word of God, that is extremely powerful. All right, anyone else? All right, I guess we'll wrap it up. Yeah, Dave. Go ahead.
I'll say good night, everyone.
No, we're not going to call it tonight. No way. No way.
That's all, folks.
Now, anybody got something else they'd like to talk about? You know, I think this mind of Christ thing can be something real, real good to study and to think about. There's a lot to that. I'm not real. I haven't ever done an in-depth study on it, but I bet it could be pretty good study. Renewing the mind. Go ahead, iPhone. Is that you, Geneva?
It's me. Hey, okay. I'm praying for you, brother, and I'm believing exactly what you said, that that you're Hayes's dad is going to be around, and he's going to be here till Jesus comes back. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stand firm, and we're all going to stand firm on that one. But I just want to say, I don't know, I guess, kind of listening to all the brethren and everybody tonight, it makes me realize, I guess, how trivial, you know, the things that I'm going through or I feel like I'm going through are. And I guess I feel like I need to repent, basically, and just ask the Lord for forgiveness, because I've been getting in my flesh a lot here lately and getting frustrated. Because I know, you know, you all know we're going through kind of a lot with our mom right now and decisions that she's making. And it's been hard for me to stand on faith here lately, because I kind of just feel like, all right, well, whatever, like, I'm not going to think about it because it just stresses me out. Like, I'm just going on. And in a way, I think that, yes, I need to give it to the Lord and, you know, take rest in that. But there's still like a piece of like bitterness and frustration there toward my mom. And, you know, me and Isaac were kind of talking yesterday, and it's like what you said, Michael, last ministries, you know, we need to get mad at Satan and not at, you know, I can't be mad at my mom. And I don't know. I know that I'm not going to let, you know, Satan or whatever rob me of my blessings. And I do feel like the brethren here lately, I feel like everyone's kind of being attacked. And I just thank you, Lord, for your hedge of protection around all of us and your blood covering. And Father, that you're going to help us to think with the mind of Christ and to be in our word. And Jesus, you're just going to guide us with our emotions. And thank you, Lord, for that. But yeah, I feel like I've been letting my emotions get the best of me at times, and I've had selfish thoughts. And anyways, I just want to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me. And, you know, things could be so much worse. They really could be. And that's why I guess I feel selfish right now, because I'm like, Lord, I have so much to be thankful for. You know, yeah, I live in a tiny little house, but it's a beautiful house, and it's, you know, it's cute, and, you know, it may only fit two people, but that's okay. We make work. But, you know, I mean, nonetheless, it's a house, and, you know, there's things I need to be thankful for. And even with my mom, you know, but yeah, she's delivered in Jesus' name, but, she loves me, and I know she loves me at the end of the day, you know, and I know the Lord's going to bring her out. And thank God I have them all. So I guess there's just things that I feel like I really need to be grateful for. And, you know, we have good things coming with this baby. It's going to be born and stuff. And I just want you all to know that I'm praying for all you guys. And those of you who have family that are going through medical things and stuff of that sort, you know, I will be praying for you all. And I know the Lord's going to bring us through this. And it's just a trial of our faith. This is really, I feel like, the time that, you know, we really just have to put our trust in the Lord and not in what we see, not in things that, you know, I guess Satan tries to make us feel, because our emotions in Jesus' name are going to align with the Lord's. And I just thank Father for bringing us out of just this heaviness, and that we're at rest and we're at peace, and our hearts are going to be lifted. And he's going to take care of all of our loved ones, and they're going to be here with us, and they're going to make it to the end with us in Jesus' name. So we're all believing for him.
Amen. I believe with you, Geneva. I do. I'll tell you a little story. I got to be a little bit quiet here. Sunday was a very divisive day here. And I allowed myself to do like Geneva did. I kind of allowed my flesh to walk around and show its stupid self. And so I decided Monday, I said, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. Repented, like Geneva, repented. And some other things. And I got up Monday morning and I bound the enemy. I broke his power, sent that devil flying out of here. And it's been heaven on earth since I've done that. I just broke the power of Satan and told him to get out of my house. I'm the new sheriff in town here. While I'm here, you go. In Jesus' name. And he did, and we did, and God did. And it's been real nice since I did that. So praise God. Go ahead, Tiana or Sammy.
Hello, are you able to hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask about getting confirmations from the Lord about personal things in our life, because we had we'd asked the Lord about something separate, and we both got the same answer. Well, we thought it was from God, and then we got the confirmations from opening the Word and asking for signs and coin flipping, and we thought we'd heard the Lord correctly on it, but it turns out we didn't hear the Lord correctly. So we were just wondering about how we can get confirmations from the Lord and know it's actually God, the things to do in our life. If you, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we'll open it up. All right, how do we do it, Missy? Or Julie? Or David? Or Andrew? Or any of y'all? Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, I know in the past that there were things that I thought that the Lord had spoken to me, and I had gotten, I felt like strong confirmations. And here it was. I had gotten wrong answers because I had an idol. I think that's the first thing you have to make sure you don't have an idol, you know, and ask the Lord to show you if there's one and take it out of your heart. And And until you know it is gone and you feel at rest about whatever it is, don't ask him about it, you know. If you realize you do have an idol or whatever, I don't know, just the whole idol thing is, I think, a big thing that you got to make sure you don't have is an idol.
One of the things that's a good answer, Missy. One of the things that I've done, I know some people, other people have done this too, is to ask the Lord, Lord, I'm asking you not to give me a Balaam answer. I don't want to go with what you want, what I want. I want to go with what you want, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But please don't give me a Balaam answer. And here it is. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I've got a bunch of, I'm juggling things in my hand here, so I finally got to the phone here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. It's just an answer to, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have all the answers. Just ask me. No. I had a friend in Portland, Oregon, who my wife and I were kind of, he was a really good personal friend of mine while he was single, but he found a lady online that he was interested in, and they started dating, and he threw a fleece before the Lord. He said, if it rains every day of the month of January this year, I'll know it's a sign from the Lord that I'm to marry this girl. But everybody knows that lives in Portland, it rains every day. It's going to be raining somewhere in Portland. It was the funniest. They brought that up at his memorial that I went to. It was just, guys, crazy. Anyway, that's one way to ask for a sign. Just make sure it's something that you're sure is going to happen. But more seriously, I think, like Michael, like you were saying, renewing our mind, that's the best thing for getting a word from the Lord, because if we are renewing our mind, and the word is in us, the Bible is in us, I think that, of course, that really helps with making decisions. And like Missy said, getting the idols out and whatnot. I'm definitely not saying that you're not in the word, sister, or have idols. I'm not saying any of that. It's just some things I was just thinking about as far as, I know Michael and David, a lot of people throw quarters and ask for signs and whatnot. I think that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know.
Not quarters, pennies.
I mean, our calling, what was that?
I said, not quarters, pennies.
I'm just kidding. Pennies, okay.
To be honest with you, we do occasionally now, not near as much as we used to. The Lord
I know.
Yeah.
But I think our calling is high, and part of that calling is God throwing us up into, especially at the end of, you know, end of time here. Let me just say, I've been thinking a lot about one of the Psalms that Jesus quoted to the Pharisees, as scribes and Pharisees, in which they were accusing him of claiming that he was God. And so then he quotes Psalms, says, have not I said unto you, ye are gods? But in that Psalm, you look at the Psalm, I find it interesting that Jesus quoted that, because if you look at the Psalm, the point of the Psalms is that, have not I said, ye are gods, and yet ye shall die like men. And it, to me, it's a really sad psalm, because the calling was high. Have not I said, you are gods? Not like gods, you are gods. And yet you shall die like men. So I don't want to be one of those people that dies like men. And I think the signs have a place, but I think a higher, you know, renewing our mind and hearing from the Lord, having such a walk with him that, well, that these things come in a more, I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm trying to just say that I think God is wanting to grow us up into, you know, that position with him where, I don't know. Maybe somebody can help me finish that thought because I'm not sure how to end it. Can you help me, Michael? I don't want to get myself into everybody into a pickle here.
We'll just laugh it off.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, I can tell you this, that throwing lots with coins, I get more heads and tails than I do all heads and all tails. Because I know that the Lord is wanting us to be led by his spirit more than to rely on casting lots and confirmations in the word. He wants to give us, you know, confirmations in the word is good as long as you've got a, as Missy was talking about, as long as you don't have any idols in there. And that goes along with all of it. So, I don't know. There's a lot of knowing. When you pray in the spirit, we've talked about this before, we pray it in the spirit before you ask God to do anything, and you'll be closer in the spirit. You'll be in the spirit, you know, when you pray in the spirit, and then you ask God to let you know about that. And he'll lead you in the right direction. And just like we had talked about here, I don't know, it's been quite some time ago, and it missed you about how we started talking to the Lord as he showed us, you know. And that was, still is an awesome experience to get your words from the Lord. That way, just sit down and talk to him. Ask him questions and he'll give you the answers. Or he'll just sit there and let you know. Yeah, Judy.
I think sometimes too is just, you know, really searching your heart to find out first why you're asking God for this. And if it's, you know, something your flesh wants or is it something you feel like God's leading you to. It's just some things you got to make sure that you're, the reasons, you know, why do I want this? Or, you know, if it's like direction, like I'm caught between this and that, like, God, what do I do? Show me, you know, close the door, open the door. And it's like, and making sure you tell God, it's like, I only want what you want. I only want your will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, make it clear to me, God, you know how I think. You know, and you know my reasonings. And it's like, if this is my flesh, then, you know, take it out of me. And just, you know, it's really like Michael said, praying the spirit first beforehand and just really seeking God for his will. And if I've got confusion going on and doubt and uncertainty and a lot of warfare going on, it's not a good time to ask God for something like that. Because you're not going to, you know, I'm not even sure if it's me, you know, or it's my flesh. It's just, yeah. And he's merciful, you know, but he knows our hearts first before we do, you know. So if it's something you really are seeking God for an answer for, he's not going to, you know, lead you astray. You know, he loves us. He cares about us. So I think first it's just making sure that the reasons we're asking are clear and it's not, our flesh, it's not an idol, it's like, I really need to know, and I feel like this, Lord, I think this is what you're showing me, but I'm not sure if I'm on the, you know, sometimes it's just, or making sure you're on the right path. I think that's a lot of the reasons why we're kind of throwing a fleece, is we want to make sure we're on the right path, what he wants us doing, and where he wants us going. And the other thing about just shutting doors, you know, God, shut this door if I'm not supposed to go through it. You know, it's just being honest with the Lord first, I guess. That's the biggest thing. And the fleece that it was flown in the Bible, it was like a when he threw that fleece, it was like so impossible for God to answer the way he did, you know, making the fleece wet when there was, you know, or just the fleece would absorb all of the water when it was complete. How did that go? And it's completely dry. There was no dew, but yet the fleece was, I can't remember how that went, but it was like an impossibility.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of dew on the ground, and the fleece was dry.
This fleece was dry.
And vice versa.
Yeah. So it's like something, you know, supernaturally, you know that was God, because you can ask for the impossible and he'll show you, you know. Make it hard for God, you know, in a sense, like, this is you, yeah. Then turn the sky purple tonight at sunset, you know, or turn it whatever. But
no,
it's not.
Stack you up a bunch of bulls out there and pour water all over it.
Yes.
Fire.
You just getting your heart right first before God and having peace when you're seeking him for something.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a big thing.
All right, Claire, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think before we ask, we should, or ask him for something, we should ask for wisdom so that we don't ask amiss. Because I think often we all tend to ask for something or almost use that as a way to either forego the knowledge that's already written, or to hide behind a lack of faith. We actually don't have to ask him. He's actually perfect and his will be done. So as much as it's wonderful to ask, and I ask him lots of things, and I have asked him this. I remember the story about the house at the beach. But at the same time, I think we have to realize that sometimes you just have to trust and obey. That is also faith, to trust and obey, as much as asking and expecting an answer.
You know, Claire, that you hit the nail right on the head, because most of the time he's going to do what he wants to do. And when we get the answer that we want, and like Missy said, a lot of times it goes his way rather than our way. We ask amiss too many times. We want to know something ahead of time. I tell you what. I'm going to let Malcolm talk. I want to be led by the Spirit. Because when you're led by the Spirit, you don't have to ask God anything. He'll just tell you to do it. Just wait on it, for goodness sake. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that being led by the Spirit is you know, when you hear other people's stories about being led by the Spirit and you have your own stories, it just really is so wonderful. I was just thinking about timing issues, because I know it seems like I'm being pushed to make a decision by a certain time, and if I don't, there are enormous consequences. I was just thinking about, you know, Jesus' life, how when he was here during those 3 years, there was a time when he was in the ship, like I mentioned already, and it was a big crisis, and if he didn't wake up by a certain time, everybody was going to drown. So there was an urgency with everybody, but with Jesus. He was sleeping.
Yeah.
While the urgency was pressing on the disciples, he was sleeping. So then there was the situation with Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old girl. I think if that's the same story as Jairus. But, you know, instead of Jesus, you know, taking the hint and figuring out that he better get there quickly, otherwise it was going to be too late, he took his time and ministered to the people along the way, and they had a massive crowd, and you can imagine the father being frustrated. Because there was a timing issue, which Jesus wasn't really dealing. I mean, he was allowing the timing problem to develop. That way he had a, well, bigger miracle coming. A lot of, I mean, even the three guys in front of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, they better bow down and worship or they're going to get thrown in. And that was a timing issue, but they didn't fall for that. Kind of sounds like the COVID shot deadline, doesn't it? So anyway, sorry, just threw that out there. But then there was a situation where Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, and he knew what was going on, but he intentionally stayed away, or at least was led by his father to stay away. And so these are all timing issues that, for us in our flesh, those are huge crises. I mean, the consequences of not following through and rushing over to the situation to minister to somebody or waking up and saving the day during the storm on the sea and all these different things. These are all things that I know I'd be, I shouldn't say that. That's not talking in faith, but our natural reaction would be to freak out and try to deal with the situation, get up there and cast it down and hurry up, Lord, because anyway. But one thing that happened to me one of the things I had a major question developing in my mind before the Lord, and I was asking him and on my knees and walking around, and this was going on, I think, several days. And finally, the Lord just suggested that I look at the last few verses of Habakkuk, and all of a sudden, it was like God, I had told this before here, so sorry for repeating myself, but that was a huge revelation to me. And it was, you know, I had chills going up and down my spine because I realized this is a very supernatural answer that took me into a whole bunch of other areas that I hadn't anticipated. Then I was thinking of Michael, your story of when you just get up and you say, tell the Lord that you love him. And then you hear an audible voice from God saying, I love you too. Yeah. And that's huge. That's, and walking in the Spirit is just where we want to be, you know, Romans 8, led by the Spirit, hearing his voice. And that comes by cultivation and, you know, renewing our minds. Something else I want to say is I spend a lot of time when I'm outside working or working around the house, I listen to the Bible almost all the time. Sometimes it's easy to zone it out. Sometimes I'm listening and praising God while I'm listening or very involved, but not always. Sometimes I just zone it out. But that can't replace time when you're just meditating before the Lord quietly and not, you know, I have a stack of wood out there. I need to be splitting and stacking and all that stuff. Sometimes it's time to just leave it out there and spend time with the Lord. And there's different aspects to renewing our mind. We just need to cover all the bases on that matter. I'm just saying that because I need to put more time into just spending total commitment time to spending time with God without doing anything else.
Amen. I believe that too, Malcolm. You need some help down there splitting that wood, brother? No, he didn't hear that, did he? All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to comment on? Pat, you've been awful quiet tonight. You okay?
Yes, I am. Well, No, I'm not, but yes, I am. I'm in a different setting up here. I'm sitting in New Jersey, in a hotel in New Jersey. So I'm kind of out of my pattern here, so to speak. But this night is kind of an answer to prayer to me, but I'll maybe at some point express myself a little more on that. But I'm just enjoying listening tonight. Everybody is very good. So,
thank you. Yeah, Dave. Thank you, Pat.
I'd like to hear if George's got anything to say. If George is listening.
Maybe. He's
available.
You gotta wait till he runs back to the couch. Hey, George, can you hear us?
Have you lifted up your heel yet, George?
Somebody text George and tell him he's being paged. He's being summoned.
Okay. Let's see.
I'd like to maybe hear from Marilyn, too. And Barry. If they got anything to say about this or any ideas.
You know, not really. I think a lot has already been covered. I believe others have just really covered well. And it's been a blessing to hear everybody's thoughts, comments. I do know that, you know, for me, spending time in prayer, that's a lot of where I hear from the Lord. It's just in my prayer time. Just, and sometimes he just starts talking to me and tells me things that, you know, I'm not even asking about or thinking about. And that's always a blessing.
Amen. It has been a lot of good discussion tonight about what we've been talking about, dying to self, having a renewed mind of Christ. What about, does anybody need to get any? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So just a question maybe to ponder maybe for maybe the next meeting or something, and that is when John the Baptist he made a statement, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world," and I know that the Lord had given me taken some time to clarify the difference between sins committed or sins or actions, sins of action or actions of sin, and the indwelling sin nature that we received, inherited from the Adamic line. And the taking away of the sins, or taking away of the sin, I believe there's two aspects of that. Obviously, there's the forgiveness of sin, but also the taking away of that sin nature. So my question, I guess, would be, if we believed that God took away our sin nature, what would be the resultant of that in our life? What could we expect to see as a result of that? So that was just maybe a parting thought that I had and kind of a question.
Okay. Yeah, Marilyn.
I got a quick answer to Pat's question. It's Jesus. Because when that sin nature's gone, all that's left is the shining forth of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus, the Word made flesh, glorified by the Holy Spirit.
I mean, the
thing is how do we get there as quick as we want to?
Amen. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you that you have taken away our sin. You've forgiven it. Now it's up to us to believe and understand that you're the one doing it in us, taking it away. Thank you, Lord, for renewing our mind with you, and that when we became born again, Lord, that means we've got a new family. That means we've got new parents, and we don't have to worry about anything else coming down from our natural father, because you're our father now. And I thank you, Lord, that you've broken every curse that Adam had when I became part of you, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I praise you, Father, for all my brothers and sisters here, that we would all renew our mind with the Word of God, with the understanding that as we read and study the Word of God, there's layer upon layer of understanding we could go from now to through eternity, if there is such a thing, and there's not. Studying the Word of God, and Lord, and find something different all the time. Father, I just ask and I pray that you open up the Word to everybody here to bring about some new revelations into the mind of Christ, or renewing of the mind, or what it's like to walk like you, Lord. How's it feel? What is it that we need to do, if anything, other than faith? Father, and I ask that you answer these questions for those of us who are going to study these next few days, next 2 days, I guess, and come together again Thursday night, and we'll each one of us speak the things that you'd have us to speak, Father. And I'm thinking that Thursday night's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord, as it was tonight. Was an awesome time with you, Lord. And we thank you for leading and guiding us and doing the things that you wanted us to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer prayers tonight that were spoken tonight. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for being with each and every one of us to guide us and lead us and set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. We speak blessings and not curses. And we thank you, Father, for placing that in us as well. Lord, I thank you for giving everybody here a good night's sleep, that they'll wake up in the morning supercharged and ready to go. And I praise you for all the work you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord, getting us ready for this great awakening that you're going to perform on this world, in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Thank you for being our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless y'all.
Well,